This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
If you're constantly on the hunt for a good deal, then you need Rakuten. Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, traveling, dining, and more. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? It's a no-brainer. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Your cash back really adds up.
Tonight, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo resigns after 11 women accuse him of sexual harassment. The three-term Democratic governor apologizes but remains defiant.
This situation and moment are not about the facts. This is about politics.
What does his resignation mean for the criminal investigations? Tonight, reaction from Cuomo's accusers and President Biden. Plus, the woman who will replace Cuomo and make history. Back-to-school fears. As students return to the classroom, COVID cases among children surge. The mask showdown between school districts and governors as doctors are pushed to the breaking point.
It is incredibly contagious, and our children are getting sick. I can't do this.
$1 trillion infrastructure bill. The president's legislation clears a major hurdle with bipartisan support. Where will the money go? Severe weather, tornadoes in Illinois, and a dangerous storm forming in the Caribbean. Border crossings, the record number of apprehensions, including tens of thousands of unaccompanied children this year. A star's diagnosis, Christina Applegate opens up about a serious illness that also impacts nearly 1 million Americans. And from America, with love, a 12-year-old hopes an entire village will walk in her shoes.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Nora is off. I'm Major Garrett. The sudden resignation of three-term New York Governor Andrew Cuomo today came as a shock to many because for days, if not weeks, Cuomo had vowed to fight allegations of sexual harassment by 11 women. Moments before he announced his exit, in fact, Cuomo and his lawyer blasted the allegations as politically motivated and unfair. Still, Cuomo said he will leave office in 14 days, and as a result, New York Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul will become, very soon, the state's first female governor. Cuomo still faces criminal investigations as well as potential civil lawsuits from his accusers. Cuomo once drew praise as a defender of women's rights, having signed into law new protections against sexual harassment in 2019. But Cuomo's alleged behavior and today's resignation in the minds of many overshadow his record over 10 years in office. CBS's Ed O'Keefe will look at the political fallout of all this, including reaction from President Biden. But we begin with CBS's Jerika Duncan in New York City. Jerika, good evening to you.
Good evening, Major. The governor said that the political environment right now is too hot and too reactionary. You know, he presented his side at that news conference and even gave some reasons as to why he resigned, saying he wanted to save tax dollars on the impeachment investigation and also saying he wanted the state government to get back to business.
I am a fighter, and my instinct is to fight through this controversy.
But after multiple rounds of punching back, the three-term governor took his biggest political career blow to date.
And I think that given the circumstances, the best way I can help now is if I step aside.
He continued to insist he didn't believe he did anything wrong.
In my mind, I've never crossed the line with anyone. But I didn't realize the extent to which the line has been redrawn.
Cuomo's stunning resignation comes exactly 1 week after the state attorney general, Letitia James, released a damning report.
The independent investigation found that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women.
The report outlines allegations from 11 women, 25-year-old Charlotte Bennett.
I thought he's trying to sleep with me.
And 32-year-old Brittany Commisso.
And that's when he put his hand up my blouse and cupped my breast over my bra.
Had the most serious allegations against the 63-year-old governor. Reacting to his resignation today, another accuser, Lindsay Boylan, tweeted, "It is a tragedy that so many stood by and watched these abuses happen." For several months, as the governor received praise for his COVID response, women came forward with stories of being touched inappropriately, and the governor kept his guard up.
I never touched anyone inappropriately.
This morning, his personal attorney, Rita Glavin, took a jab at the state attorney general's investigation.
The investigators acted as the prosecutors, the judge, and the jury.
But then the governor followed her comments with a move we had never seen.
But if she said I did it, I believe her.
For the first time, he addressed allegations from the female trooper in his protective detail, who told investigators the governor sexually harassed her on at least two occasions.
I don't remember doing it at all. I didn't do it consciously. It was a mistake, plain and simple. I have no other words to explain it. I want to personally apologize to her and her family.
His plan to resign doesn't absolve him from another fight. Tom Abinanti is on the Judiciary Committee.
Impeachment is not off the table. We need counsel to confirm that we still have the power to move forward.
Now the power shifts to Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. She will become the state's first female governor in 2 weeks. CBS News has learned that at least one of those four district attorney investigations looking into Cuomo's alleged behavior will continue. Now, interestingly enough, toward the end of the news conference, Governor Cuomo said he now sees the world through the eyes of his three daughters who are in their 20s, saying directly to them, "Your dad made a mistake. He apologized. Learn from it." And that's what life happens. That's what goes on in life. Major?
Learn from it indeed. Jerika Duncan in New York. Thank you. President Biden said today he respects Cuomo's decision to step down as the president tried to put some distance between himself and the allegations that drove Cuomo from office. At the White House, here is CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Thank you.
President Biden had called on Andrew Cuomo to resign and today reluctantly discussed the downfall of one of his closest political allies.
How would you assess his 10.5 years as governor of the state?
In terms of his personal behavior or what he's done as a governor?
What he's done as a governor.
Thought he's done a hell of a job. Thought he's done a hell of a job. That's why it's so sad.
The two men had worked together for decades.
You got the best governor in the whole darn country.
It's an ironic fall from grace for a governor who just 2 years ago signed legislation to help end sexual harassment.
Let's honor all the women who have suffered this pain and endured this humiliation.
Among Democrats at the state capitol.
The governor's clearly lost the confidence of the majority members of the New York State Assembly.
Cuomo's support evaporated in the past year amid questions about the state's handling of nursing home patients who died of COVID and whether he'd relied on state resources to write a memoir that would earn him more than $5 million. The state assembly was preparing to impeach him, and multiple people tell CBS News that all 63 members of the state Senate would likely have voted to remove him. But Democratic strategist and CBS News political contributor Joel Payne says we may not have seen the last of the governor.
If voters decide to forgive Governor Cuomo, there's a world where he could run again in the future.
Cuomo was preparing to run for a fourth term next year, but for now, he's a political pariah and the third consecutive New York governor to either resign or not seek re-election because of scandal. Major?
Ed O'Keefe for us at the White House. Thank you. Turning now to the COVID pandemic, as kids return to the classroom, several large school districts are defying the Republican governors of Florida and Texas by imposing mask mandates. This showdown comes as pediatric COVID cases are surging, now accounting for 15% of all new infections. More now from CBS's Manuel Bohorquez.
The first day of school in the Tampa area came with a mask mandate, but also a loophole. Parents can opt their children out. It's among the latest balancing acts with Governor Ron DeSantis, who is threatening to go after superintendent and school board members' salaries if they require masks in schools.
It's about parental choice, not government mandate.
But this afternoon, Broward County's board went against the governor anyway. In Texas, Dallas is defying that state's governor's rule against mask mandates.
He's responsible for the state of Texas. I'm responsible for Dallas ISD.
Nearly 94,000 new COVID cases in children were reported nationwide last week, the highest number of pediatric cases in nearly 6 months. The American Academy of Pediatrics issued a letter to the FDA saying it should strongly consider authorizing COVID vaccines for children ages 5 to 11.
We wanted the FDA to know that the biggest pediatric organization in the country really stood behind vaccines for children.
Dr. Yvonne Maldonado is the organization's chair of infectious diseases.
Is the fact that some students may go to school without wearing masks and that the Delta variant is so much more contagious, are those the reasons you're urging the FDA to act?
There's a number of reasons. First of all, we know that vaccines work. Secondly, we know that they're safe. Third, we know that masks work. And fourth, we know that masks are safe.
Florida leads the nation in pediatric hospitalizations, with more than 300 reported in the last week. It's overwhelming doctors like Pia Myers, who had this message.
I'm trying to encourage everybody to please take this Delta variant very seriously due to the transmissibility. It is incredibly contagious, and our children are getting sick. I can't do this.
Clearly overcome with emotion. We reached out today, but the FDA does not have an updated timeline for when children ages 5 to 11 could be eligible for the vaccine. In the meantime, Dr. Anthony Fauci says he believes the vaccine should be mandated for teachers, but the decision will have to come from the local level. Major?
All eyes on the FDA. Manuel Bohorquez for us. Thank you. Today we saw a rare bit of big-ticket bipartisanship as a massive infrastructure bill cleared the United States Senate. 19 Republicans joined every Democrat in voting yes. CBS's Chris Van Cleve reports on what's in the bill and why the president is celebrating.
On this vote, the yeas are 69.
With the vice president presiding, the Senate overwhelmingly passed a landmark $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, a major win for President Biden.
In this bill, we prove that we can still come together to do big things, important things.
The compromise package took months to craft and will fund traditional infrastructure projects like roads, bridges, airports, waterways, and further deployment of broadband service, winning over 19 Republicans.
This will be a monumental improvement in what I see every day in my state.
But critics say it's too expensive. Freshman Republican Bill Hagerty of Tennessee blocked the bill's quick passage over the weekend.
Tennessee, like all states, stand to get some money out of this bill if it becomes law. Why vote no?
Well, the reason to vote no is that it's not paid for. I understand investing for the future, but that investment has to have a return, not putting more debt on the backs of our children and grandchildren.
The bipartisanship was short-lived. Democrats moved on to their $3.5 trillion budget plan without any Republican support. And while today was a win, make no mistake about that, it is no guarantee that even the president's own party will hold together to get this bill across the finish line in the House. And from Republicans, the administration should expect nothing but resistance moving forward. Major?
Chris Van Cleve, thank you. Tonight, Illinois is cleaning up after at least six tornadoes left a trail of destruction Monday in the Chicago area. There were no reported injuries. And oppressive heat is expected this week for much of the continental United States, while the Caribbean braces for a tropical storm. CBS's Lonnie Quinn has the latest, so Lonnie, fill us in.
All right, we've got a lot going on out there. I'm going to start with the Caribbean because the storm you're referring to right now is just south of Puerto Rico. Winds are 35 miles per hour. Pretty darn likely this is going to become Tropical Storm Fred. Boy, it could be as early as tonight. So we're going to keep an eye on that one. Once it becomes Tropical Storm Fred, where does it go from there? It looks like it skips right through the Caribbean, first to Puerto Rico, then Hispaniola, then Cuba, all the while getting weaker, not stronger, because it's interacting with land. But once it exits Cuba, now it's into the Florida Straits. Now it's going to get stronger, possibly making a landfall in South Florida. Probably more likely, with all the guidance we have, it's going to skirt the coast and go up more towards the Panhandle. That would probably be on Monday if it takes that track, and that's where it's most likely to travel. That's next week for any impact in our country, all right, as far as the landfall goes. But for this week, it's all about building heat. Two-thirds of the country, it just keeps getting hotter and hotter out there. Look at the numbers for tomorrow in St. Louis. It's 113. D.C. feels like 108. And again, St. Louis feels like 113 when you factor in the humidity. And that kind of heat and humidity stays right in place, Major, for the rest of this week. Summer is back in full force. It's all yours.
Hotter and hotter. Lonnie Quinn, thanks so much. President Biden said today he does not regret his decision to withdraw U.S. forces from Afghanistan and that Afghans have to, quote, want to fight the Taliban. Taliban forces now control an estimated 65% of the country. That includes up to seven regional capitals captured just this week. The State Department says violence in Afghanistan is unacceptably high. Top U.S. security officials are in Mexico tonight for talks about immigration. This comes as illegal border crossings from Mexico to the U.S. are soaring. CBS's Maria Villarreal reports tonight from the southern border.
Underneath this bridge in South Texas, our cameras captured the enormity of the immigration crisis. Over 200,000 migrants were swept up last month by border agents, a 21-year high, the majority funneling through the South Texas border.
About 2 weeks ago, we really saw probably some of our highest numbers in custody, over 20,000 people within Border Patrol facilities or underneath the Anzaldúas Bridge.
At all hours of the day, we saw hundreds of migrants at this temporary processing site waiting in line to load onto buses, many of them children. At least 18,000 unaccompanied minors crossed in July.
When you have kids, family units crossing in very remote areas in 100-degree heat, that is problematic.
That's the case in McAllen, Texas, where a declaration of emergency was ordered by Mayor Javier Villalobos.
Why have you guys had to step in here?
Because if we don't step in, then we have 1,800 immigrants dropped off here in McAllen wandering around.
Villalobos tells us he's also facing a health crisis. The number of migrants testing positive for COVID has been trending up, 7,000 since February, but 1,500 just this past week. Most will quarantine in this park that's now being used as a temporary shelter run by Catholic Charities.
We have no authority to stop them, whether they're COVID positive or not. So we're having issues. We don't call it a border issue. We call it an immigration issue because they pass through here.
A lot more land underneath that international bridge has been cleared. The chief tells me right now they expect apprehensions to continue to go up, and they have to have a place to put these people. Meanwhile, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is expected here in the Rio Grande Valley on Thursday. He will meet with the chief as well as local leaders to continue to discuss these growing concerns. Major?
With the numbers and the implications, Maria Villarreal, we thank you.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Residents of an eight-story condominium in Miami are living elsewhere tonight. This after city officials ordered everyone to leave Monday night, saying the building was not structurally safe. This order comes 6 weeks after 98 people were killed in the collapse of a high-rise condo in nearby Surfside. Emmy-winning actor Christina Applegate says she has multiple sclerosis and described her condition as, quote, a tough road. Applegate first gained fame in the TV sitcom Married with Children. MS affects the nervous system and often leads to cognitive and physical decline. In 2008, Applegate was diagnosed with breast cancer and underwent a double mastectomy. And tonight we are remembering Walter Yetnikoff. He ran CBS Records for many years when its superstar roster included Billy Joel, The Rolling Stones, and Michael Jackson. Yetnikoff died Sunday night, just shy of his 88th birthday. For a young girl from Chicago, a trip overseas opened her eyes, and then she opened her heart. Here's CBS's Nancy Chen.
12-year-old Carrie Karanteng has been collecting shoes, but not for herself.
Some of the kids that you're helping are your age.
Yes.
A trip to see family in Ghana inspired her.
When I even visit my grand auntie in the villages, you can see every child, no shoes on, and I realized this is very dangerous.
She was just 8 that first time. She began sending shoes to them last year with the support of a local nonprofit. In this village, the generosity is cause for celebration.
This is special.
Nobody has given me shoes like that before.
Karanteng raises money for the hefty shipping fees and even flies with stuffed suitcases during school breaks.
Your living room just turned into a shoe store.
Yes, so much boxes stacked up.
She sent nearly 1,000 pairs from Chicago to Ghana. The shoes are handed out to children like 9-year-old Mary Jalissa, who used to walk to school barefoot.
I can show you the shoe.
Yes, can you show me the shoes? Oh, that's great.
Karanteng's hope to motivate others if the shoe fits.
If I help others, maybe it could inspire another to do the same.
Nancy Chen, CBS News, Chicago.
Inspiring others to do the same. Here's a question. Why are so many children having eye trouble? Is it tied to the pandemic? Well, we will look at the evidence tomorrow on the CBS Evening News. Remember, if you can't watch us live, please don't forget to set your DVR so you can watch us later. And that is tonight's edition of the CBS Evening News. For Nora O'Donnell, I'm Major Garrett. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
And how long have you been the producer of this?
We've been doing this for 2 years now.
Okay, and what is it like to attempt to get feedback from me about the podcast? Be honest about how quickly I respond to emails.
You actually respond to emails surprisingly fast.
Really? I think you might be the only person I respond to quickly. Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I expected you to lay into me.
Well, this was over the strike period.
Oh, I had time.
Yeah.
See, that doesn't count. Sure, I responded to everything because responding to you putting reruns up on the podcast was like a form of employment.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had something to get up for every day. So thank you for that. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.